Hey, your loved one needs your advice, but how to give it? Let's talk about it with Cheryl Marshall and Caroline Neuheiser. I'm Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
Hey, we are so glad you guys are here. I say it so much that you're tired of hearing it. But when truth is spoken, even often, it's still truth. So we say and mean you always have a place at our table. I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy. Matthew Porter, who is our executive producer, is here. Some men look at a third helping of turkey and dressing and ask why, and Matthew looks and asks why not. Our producer, Jeannie, is on the road, so he won't be with us this day. I trust that he's getting a haircut. And our video director and one-man IT department, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John is a Gentile, and yet he has his own festival of lights as we move into the Christmas season. Of course, nobody can see them because he lives in a gated community. And so he does it for himself and for Jesus, and they are still very pretty. And Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. George told me to tell you this coming Tuesday, November the 30th, is Giving Tuesday. And if you would like to support the work of Key Life, we would appreciate it. And when you do, you get free sins. If you don't, you get the hives. I just thought you ought to know. We have two great guests today, and you're going to like this. One is Cheryl Marshall, and she is a wife, a mom, a counselor, and a Bible teacher with more than 25 years of experience teaching and discipling women. Cheryl currently serves as director of women's ministry at Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas. And then Caroline Neuheiser is here. She's an ACBC certified counselor and has been a pastor's wife, you poor dear, for more than 30 years. Caroline currently serves as assistant coordinator of women's counseling at Reformed Theological Seminary. And Cheryl and Caroline have written a new book, which I hold in my nicotine-stained fingers, When Words Matter Most, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. Hey, ladies, I started to say guys, but that would be prejudicial, sexist, and just wrong in the current cultural climate. So ladies, or women, or whatever, we're so glad you're here and so glad you wrote that. I don't think there was ever a need for a book like this in our time. I have friends who are going to have Thanksgiving away from their families because they're not speaking. We have 4,000 pastors on our mailing list. And so we hear about division going on in the church and how horrible it is. I mean, Christians are yelling at each other. They sound like pagans. They just don't have guns. But it's really kind of sad. And there are people that are hurting. We've been through this pandemic. They feel lonely. They know God's word, but they want to see God with skin on, and it's been a very long time. Aside from loneliness and being marginalized, we're all sinners, and we got to have somebody other than Jesus. Martin Luther said, that tell us that we're forgiven and that the gospel is true. And so these, I don't know whether you guys planned it. It got really bad and you decided we're going to make a buck. Or this is a God thing, had been planned and talked about for a very long time, which I suspect is true. I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to address somebody, but how did you, Caroline, first come in? And then later, I want you to talk about it, Cheryl. Where did you come up with this? But was it just bad and you decided somebody had to do something and your mother's and figured you could fix it?
Well, we have been friends for a long time. And Cheryl has, and I've talked about the importance of helping women. And I began to give a series of talks to counseling conferences about the need to share truth, need to share scripture, and the need to be gracious as you do it. And from what Cheryl has told me, she heard some of those talks and thought, we need to write a book.
And then,
at the same time that I was listening to those, I had been teaching a women's Bible study, a Sunday morning, Sunday school, actually, on fundamentals of the faith. And I taught several semesters of that. And each time I taught that on the very first day, I'd have women introduce themselves and, you know, tell us why are you taking the class, you know, get to know one another. And often I'd hear women say, I'm taking this class because I want to learn the Bible better so that I can speak to my neighbor or my sister-in-law or my friend, someone who was struggling spiritually. And I sort of tucked that away in my mind. And then a few months later, a woman stopped me in the hall at church and she said, can I talk to you for a moment? My daughter-in-law recently had a miscarriage and she is now terrified that if she ever becomes pregnant again, that she will lose that baby also. Mm-hmm. And so the woman asked me, she said, do you know any place that I could take her in the scriptures to encourage her? And so we just stood there in the hallway and we talked about it and she went on her way. And it struck me, this woman has been in the church for years. She's been in a good, well-taught church for years. And yet when push comes to shove, she didn't know really what to say to someone she loved and cared about from the scriptures. And like Caroline said, I've known her for many years. And these thoughts went through my mind. And I thought, if there was anybody that I was going to write this book with, I want it to be Caroline. So I contacted her, roped her in. And we were on our way. And this was all pre-COVID. So it's interesting because I do have a close friend who said to me when we were working on this prior to COVID, she said, Cheryl, she said, I really believe that there's a reason that you guys are writing this now. You don't know what it is yet, but God's going to have this done in his perfect timing. So
now
here we
she
are.
Knows. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you're not saying how to speak your truth to people. You're talking about God's truth and knowing what the Bible says. I remember years ago when I took an evangelism explosion course from Jim Kennedy at Coral Ridge, and somebody asked him, what if we quote this scripture and people don't believe it? Is it wasted? And he said something really interesting. He said, if somebody breaks into your home and they're getting ready to open your safe and you have a 38 and you point it at them and you say to them, I'm going to shoot where you're standing, so you better move it. And if they say, I don't believe in guns and in 38s, you, of course, will put that gun away. Because if they don't believe in a gun won't work. But the truth is that God's word is a two-edged sword. It's a surgical sword. But it's also one that goes to the truth. And it's always good to say, Grady Wilson used to say it all the time. He'd say something controversial, even harsh, and then he would laugh and he said, get mad at God. I didn't say it. I probably wouldn't have said it, but it's truth because God said it. Does that give you a sense? And we just have about a minute in this segment. It gives you a sense of having an anchor, doesn't it? And a safety net because you're speaking God's word and not your word.
Right. It's not our opinion. It's not our advice that it eventually makes a difference in a person's life as far as bringing transformation to their life. Yeah. We can't save anyone. We can't sanctify anyone or make them more Christ-like, but God can. And he's put us in each other's lives to speak his truth to one another. It might not always be with a chapter and verse, but if our conversation is saturated with biblical truth, God's going to use that in the lives of others.
I bet you guys have been doing this so long that you can hardly think a thought without thinking a text. And you don't have to put the numbers on it. They weren't there in the beginning. But as long as the truth is his truth, it does what truth does to people.
I do have numbers to speak truth, to reinforce what we just said. John 8 says in verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
True. And I that works for me. it's his truth, and when you know his truth, you're loved, you're forgiven, you're acceptable. I'll never say I've had it with you. I'll never leave you in the dark. That does make you free. That's why I say some of the controversial things that I do. And the other part is my sin. I'm going to repent, then we're coming back. Hope you do too.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, we're so glad you're here. And we're talking with Cheryl Marshall and Caroline Neuheiser, and their book is called, and boy, talk about timely, When Words Matter Most, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. Now, both of these women are disciplers and teachers of women, but in the introduction, which made me feel better, they did say that guys could listen. And if we listened and shut up for a little bit and paid attention, that we would learn something. So we are including ourselves in this interview, but mostly Kathy, and I forgot to introduce her at the beginning of the broadcast. It's not a good thing to cross Kathy. You can be in trouble for the rest of your life. And so I publicly, that's not true, I publicly ask for forgiveness. And Kathy Wyatt is the soft feminine side of this broadcast. You can look for Catherine's new Lutheran recipe book. It's called We Never Cooked It That Way Before.
you know, that could be a Presbyterian cookbook, too.
That's true. And we refuse to do it this way now.
That's right. We've done it that way all these years. Why would we change now?
That's right. If anybody changes anything we do over the last 200 years, we just ignore it. Kathy, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
First Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. I'm going to do that straight from the notes here so that I say it right. The verse says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." I hadn't read that in a very long time. There's an awful lot of challenge in that. Caroline, you want to say something about that? Wow. Yeah. I'm a little nervous now. That's a tall order.
I think it's interesting that out of these three types of people, the unruly, the faint-hearted, and the weak, that we have two of them who need special care. They all need special care, but they don't all need admonishment. And that's what we tried to emphasize in the book, that we want to be the encouragers and the ones who help. But we don't ignore that we do need to admonish some. But for all these types of people, we have to be patient with them all. And I think that's what we need to carry into our conversations, into our family conversations, in the counseling office, and as we are speaking to fellow Christians.
And we're wounded healers, too. I mean, we don't come from Sinai to bring this message. That's God's place. And so I think probably a part of wise words and kind words to those in need is a confession on our part. Like, been there, done that, I understand. Cheryl?
Yes.
I'm wondering if you wanted to comment on that particular issue.
Okay, Cheryl, can I just, and you can throw this in and then you can add this into it. When you talk, especially when you get into the issue about the unruly, you know, there was a time when people in the church, even outside of the church, when, you know, that were had polar opposite views or whatever on things. And you'd say, okay, I'll tell you what I think. And then you tell me what you think. And then we'll find this place in the middle where we can compromise and hopefully work it out. But people are not like that anymore. It's, I'm going to tell you what I think. And before we're done, you're going to believe it. You're going to do it my way, or we're never going to speak again. And the same thing on the other side. Nobody, it seems like nobody has any idea anymore about compromise. So how does one deal with that type of unruliness? I mean, that's just.
Right. Yeah. So much can be said about that. One of the things is there are a lot of opinions floating around. Most Christians can agree on principles that are taught in Scripture. Yet what we do is we end up elevating our application of the Scripture to the same authority level as the principle itself.
Mm, good.
And so we have to be very careful as believers, and that's why we talk so much about speaking the truth with grace, right? With loving kindness, with humility, with mercy, that, you know, you can't control how the other person is going to respond. As Paul says, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. So, you know, we still have to say, okay, this is what God's word says. On this, I won't compromise. This is the principle or the truth of Scripture to which I must hold, because it's not ultimately from me. It's from the Lord. Now, this is how I am applying this. I understand that you see this to be applied in another way, you know, whether we're talking about vaccinations or masks or whatever. But then as far as you are concerned, you have to respond with grace and kindness and love to that other person. You can't control how they respond to you, ultimately.
Do you apply this to masks and vaccinations?
Imagine that.
It's kind of like finding directions to how to build a birdhouse in the Scriptures. It may not address that sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. But the Scriptures are sufficient in that
principles,
however God wants us to live in righteousness and holiness, in obedience and in faith, the word does talk to that. So it may not tell us how to build a bird's house or whatever it was you were saying, but it does tell us to do so with patience, right? It would tell us to do that with, without throwing the birdhouse across the room because we're so frustrated at it. You know, the scriptures do tell us how to do what we must do in some way or another. So the principles are there in scripture to tell us how to live in faith and obedience, whatever we do.
But I like what you said about, that's how I interpret it. The interpretation is not inerrant. The principle is. And do you get agreement when you do that?
Yes, with the Holy Spirit's help.
Yeah. There is a supernatural factor in all of this, mm-hmm. isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk some more about it when we come back. We don't have a lot more time in this segment, but we have a little bit. So we could have a hymn sing or a season of prayer or something like that. Write this down, get the name of this book. It's When Words Matter the Most, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. You know, we have in some sense in the church been afraid to speak our truth. We live in such a hot button society and people are so angry that we decide I'll just go over in the corner and pray. I'm not going to say anything. But you can't do that because that's one of the principles of Scripture. You're responsible for me and I'm responsible for you. But you got to do it right. And this book is going to help you do it right. Hey guys, we are now out of time on this segment. We're going to return. Like Jesus, it's our fond hope that you will too.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Hey, thanks for being a part of this. We're hanging out with Cheryl Marshall and Caroline Neuheiser. And you can keep up with Cheryl at CherylMarshall.com. And you can find Caroline at CarolineNeuheiser.com. It's not very creative, but you can get to them.
But it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Guys, I love the book, and specifically the subtitle, I think, gets at it's huge. Speaking truth with grace. You know, I tell our kids all the time, and it relates to marketing as well, which I'm involved in. There's what you say, and then there's how you say it. And the second is just as important as the first. And I would imagine that that's part of it. Veers into some very practical ways of approaching these kinds of conversations. I would imagine a part of showing grace is kind of picking your moment. And, you know, I wonder if you could delve into a few of the little practical insights as to how to have these sometimes challenging conversations.
And we wanted to speak about this as if women were running across one another at church and at the grocery store. I have a problem. Could I talk? And a lot of women would just like to talk and talk and talk. But there are moments when we need to interrupt or to say, you know, I'd like to share something with you. So you could even, a woman who's listening might want to try this, is could I tell you something from the scripture that has helped me?
Yeah.
So like Steve was saying, we're all fellow sinners and we've been through a lot of things together. Maybe we've had some similar experience or we have had something that's been a trial for us that we know we can relate to them. Like 1 Corinthians 1 says we share with one another out of the comfort we have received. And I think that may be 1 Corinthians. But we ask permission in a way that's kind and loving. And I think the attitude of I really care helps a lot. And I'm a counselor. I have women come in and they say, you know, I've been in therapy for years and I pay somebody to listen to me. I pay somebody to be my friend.
Whoa.
We want to be those women who are ready to be friends just naturally in life together.
Good stuff.
Just to piggyback something on what she said about asking someone, you know, may I share with you something that the Lord has taught me from his word or some sort of wording like that. I just want to mention that a lot of times women feel inadequate as far as knowing scripture. Like, what do I say to someone, even if I were to offer that? And one of the things that we encourage women to do is really share what the Lord has personally been teaching you. What is something that the Lord has been working in your own heart, whether it's something through your personal time in the scriptures or something that you've learned in a recent sermon, that you don't have to be some sort of theologian who's been in seminary for years and years in order to have something to say to encourage and to strengthen another believer in the Lord. Often the most effective thing is to share with them what God is doing in you and what maybe that fragment of a scripture or a complete verse or whatever it may be that he's been using to help you, that you can then turn around and share that with someone else. It seems very simple, but it is actually very powerful.
And I would imagine, Steve, go ahead. I was just going to say that I would imagine in these kind of conversations, context would be really, really important. You know, in a perfect world, this is not out of the blue. This is on the foundation of community and time and vulnerability with each other that kind of paves the way a good deal towards this thing that needs to be imparted.
Right. One of my closest friends, her son passed away actually while we were writing the book. And I mentioned in the book, a teenage boy. And several months after he passed away, we were having a conversation. And later she told me that I'd said something to her that only I could say to her because of that foundation we had laid after years and years of a friendship. And I asked her, I said, well, what was it that I had said? And she says, you told me on the phone one day, Leanna, God is good. And she says, sounds very basic and simple. She says, but I don't think I could have heard it at that moment from anyone else. I could only hear that from you at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And that taught me a lot, that people are ready for truth at different times. And sometimes they're ready to hear it from different people. And so praying for that discernment and praying for patience to really listen and be aware of where a person is at as you step in. And, you know, are they the unruly? Are they the faint-hearted? Are they the weak? Which one are they? And what are they really ready to hear at this point?
Good stuff. The book is When Words Matter Most, Speaking Truth with Grace to Those You Love. You ought to get it. This would be a great Bible study for a small group. And it's not just for women. Invite your husband and tell him to be quiet. And they'll learn something from the font of all wisdom, your wife. Hey, guys, we're going to back out for a little while. This is very hard work, and we're going to have some cookies and milk and take a nap. And then we're going to come back. It's our fond hope that you come back too.
It was-
was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey guys, we're hanging out with Cheryl Marshall and Caroline Neuheiser and their book, When Words Matter Most, and it's not what you think it is. When I first picked it up, I figured, you know, I'm tired of people trying to be my mother or expecting me to be their mother. And I came fully loaded to say some negative things about your book until I started reading it. This is so good. And when they use the word grace, they really mean it. Sensitive, honest, beggars telling other beggars, being gentle about it. So, guys, thanks for writing this book.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, and just reiterating what Steve has mentioned, you know, definitely, I think men can get a lot out of the book too. You're addressing women generally, but I think it certainly would be helpful to men. Actually, in a kind of a two-part question, but first, I thought it might be appropriate for you guys to kind of review what you've kind of used as an outline, the four W's categories of trying to be encouraging and helpful to people. And then second point to, I guess, request a comment on, you know, it can be a little intimidating thinking that you're trying to prepare yourself to answer every question that somebody might have. And unless you're a professional, God may just use you to address one aspect of what a person might be struggling with. So if you might, after the outline, kind of comment on that as well.
Well, Cheryl and I wanted to put feet to the concept of trying to share truth and speaking truth with grace. So we picked four categories where we think women and men struggle. And we called them truth for the worried, truth for the weary, truth for the wayward, and truth for the weeping. And in each category, we chose three or four passages of scripture, wrote them out, and applied, how would you use this scripture to help a person in that situation? And I think we could even go further. I mean, there are plenty of other problems, and none of us, Cheryl and I, aren't really specialists, but we have walked through different paths, particularly that we feel like if I encounter a woman with that problem, it's going to come to my mind, what passages helped me? How did I deal with those situations?
And we wrote it in such a way where it's actually written to the person you are talking to. So it's very personal. So one of our suggestions in the introduction to the second part of the book is that if you are at a loss for words yourself, you could even open up to a particular page here in the book and just say, "Hey, can I just read to you what I read the other day here about this passage and what you're going through?" So something very simple like that. We wanted to make it very usable, but just to expose the reader to various passages, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, that they could use to address women who are facing these different issues. And so to your second point, could you repeat that? What was the second point you were asking about?
Well, just the idea that, you know, it can be feel a little intimidating to feel like you're trying to prepare yourself to address all of a problem that, or if you encounter someone who seems like they're dealing with a lot of different stuff, God may only use you to speak to one particular aspect. You don't necessarily have to feel like, you know, you've got to cover the whole waterfront with them.
Right. I think that really ties into the listening process. I learned from Jim Neuheiser, Caroline's husband, years ago when I was observing him doing some counseling, how much listening he did and how very little talking to begin with. A whole session was just listening and drawing out what the actual need is of the person. And so sometimes when you're talking with someone, if you just wait long enough to listen, the key thing that is burdening their heart may come to the surface. If you're unsure, maybe you can say something like, so what is the main thing that's burdening you right now? You know, and then at that point, maybe there's something that you can share for that. But again, it comes back to the idea, what has the Lord been teaching you? And probably it's going to be beneficial to the person who you're speaking with. But, you know, nobody is a perfect memory master of the scriptures. And so we do give several suggestions about how to become prepared, whether it's having a little post-it note even in your Bible or making that list or whatever it may be, that you have something maybe even on your phone that, you know, I hear what you're saying. And I was just reading this the other day. Can I share this with you? You know, we don't have to feel like we're some sort of superhuman memory person when it comes to the scriptures. We can be humble. We can be real and just say, you know, I don't know everything, but I know it's in there somewhere. Let's find it together. You know, you just approach the whole situation with a lot of humility, and that will go a long way.
I would imagine in the book, reading the book would also put you in a really good position to receive that from somebody else, because we're not going to always be the ones giving the advice or the encouragement or the admonishment. That's going to come back to us sooner or later. I would imagine this puts you in a much more empathetic position and go, oh, okay. What do we need to take away? How do we need to react in those situations?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think you made a good point, Matthew, that we're both receiving and giving. And I think I'd like the church to have that mentality so that we don't think there's a professional class or we don't think there's clergy class that does this, but it's all of us speaking to one another and receiving. So I like that point. We need to, like Cheryl said, have humility towards one another and be ready to receive.
That's so good. And we're running out of time, but you do, in a sense, have to have permission from the person to whom you direct your marks before you direct them, or you're going to get in trouble. Is that right?
I think we need to be as Jesus was, bold. We can be wise and bold. So with God's help, I think we can do both.
I think some of what Cheryl was saying earlier on with that individual that you spoke with when you said God is good. I mean, you had earned the right over a long period of time to be heard. And that's great. That's great.
Guys, we're out of time. It's been so good to have you with us. Thanks for taking your time to be here. And thanks for writing this book. It's a helpful one. And we pray that it helps a lot of people, and it sells millions of copies. You make a lot of money, and you send a contribution to Key Life on Giving Tuesday. Guys, thanks for being with us. Hey, we're going to come back for a short segment, and we're going to tell you who we're going to do it unto next week. And you're going to be astounded. You're going to be amazed. I think. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Well, thanks for being with us during this hour. It was different than what I thought when I first picked up the book. You know, we've been talking amongst ourselves about that particular phenomenon. First impressions, some people say, are right, and they're never right, or rarely right. Some of the best friends I have, and the most helpful ones, Christian friends, drove me nuts when I first met them. And sometimes I said things to make sure I didn't have to meet them very often. And then I would realize what a horrible mistake I made and go back and have to do the forgiveness thing, which I hate, and get on your knees and kiss rings and apologize. So don't do that. Sit around and listen for a while when you meet somebody new and see what God has in that for you. And he has something good for all of us in this. These ladies are on to something. We do have the truth to speak in the areas about which they were speaking and about which they speak in their book. We're right. I mean, it's been revealed. It's not because we're so smart or because we worked this out ourselves. It's because somebody who really knows told us. And he said, I've given you this truth. It'll make you free, and it'll make everybody else that you know free if you can get them to listen. And that's a problem in this kind of culture. I have a tendency to say it once and then walk. I think maybe I'm going to stay around a little bit longer and maybe at least say it twice and in a nicer way. And if the results turn out to be really good, I'm going to write these ladies a thank you note. Thank them for writing this book. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
Well, you get to tell us a little bit about him because he's your friend. Dan Bermawi is on next week.
Yeah, he's my Arab Muslim friend, former Muslim friend, who is often under persecution, has been through some really rough stuff. And we check with him on occasion to see how things are going in the Middle East. And he speaks from the street. So when we have him on next week, you'll want to be sure and be here, because this is the skinny. This is the real stuff. We got to go. It's time. But we're going to return next week, same time, same place. And it's our fond hope that you join us. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.